Okay.
Bezat Hashem, we are learning the Masechet Sanhedrin in Kaf Bet Amud Bet. Towards the end of the page,
it's 22b.
Down, 22b, nearly at the end of this Perek, Perek Sheni. Bezat Hashem, we might finish it today. Hashem's time. Okay, what are we talking about? We're talking about hair. Not growing your hair within the 9 days, so you can't cut it anyway. That's an interesting question. What would happen if you have, coming up to day 28, and you need to cut your hair, but you enter the 9 days? Presumably you can't do it in the 9 days, you just get slapped for not taking care of it earlier.
Now, what about the pears?
What about what? Pears?
Yeah.
Pears are okay. Pears are okay, you can grow them as long as you want. Unless you were Limbak or a Mit Naged. Maybe not. That's true. So there's no Kohen to.
There's no
Tisha B'Av.
It's keep a holiday.
Wait, but when was the Tisha B'Av? Even like after the first temple, there would be the Tisha B'Av, no? First temple was destroyed on Tisha B'Av too. No, that time, but in the past, the Kohanim had Tisha B'Av. They had Tisha B'Av. Even. You think they only had Tisha B'Av after the second temple?
They started to mourn from Midbar.
After the wilderness where we all died on Tisha B'Av every year because it was the sin of the spies.
No, what was Rav Elgrad saying about we won't be serving, observing Tisha B'Av?
No, he was saying if Mashiach comes, we won't be serving Tisha B'Av. Mashiach comes, there won't be Tisha B'Av. There won't be Tisha B'Av if Mashiach comes. It'll be a holiday. Tisha B'Av is going to turn into a holiday. Right.
So that means Rabbi Tosse, he's 13 years old, means that this year he's coming from. And he's like, when is the Tisha B'Av from 13 years old?
Yeah, okay. This is how it is.
So then he had the expression. So he start to walk. Tisha B'Av.
Okay, so we saw the difference between how do we learn the question. Go ask the question. What about nowadays? Is it still forbidden to Kohanim to cut their hair? So the Gemara said we learn from the fact that Kohanim were forbidden wine, but were permitted it nowadays. So the same reasoning applies to cutting hair. Now we saw maybe it's different, because maybe wine and hair is different, they're not exactly the same, you can say there's differences between them. Practically speaking, you can sober up, you can't sober up, and get your hair cut quickly. Huh? So there's another good connection between whining and cutting your hair.
I'm sure, where are we exactly? I mean, which line?
That part wasn't actually on the page, but it's on there somewhere. We just can't see it. You have to look the remnants between the lines. Okay. And
no,
then
the last comment I had was shechting and being drunk.
You can be shechting.
If you aren't concentrating, you could invalidate the shechting, right?
Right.
You
know. How's that fit?
You had to be sober. You had to be sober enough to be able to properly check.
For Cohen,
right?
Or for a shochet.
For a Cohen.
For Cohen. To do any of the service.
Right.
If you get any of the service wrong, then it's a big avera. Sprinkle too many times, too few times, you miss. Right, you're a bit.
Yeah, you really do need good aim, right?
Well, truth is, you don't actually have to. I think the sprinkling's not so much out. You just sprinkle towards the right area, and it doesn't matter if it goes on or doesn't go on. I think clean it. Okay, so anyway, so we said that, final thing we said is that Our, there is another difference between cutting hair and wine. And that wine, the person breaks the ban on having wine, so that invalidates his temple service. Right? The Kohen who comes in drunk for duty, any avodah he does has no effect. Doesn't work. But a Kohen who comes in with a bit of a scraggy hair, needing a haircut, it doesn't invalidate the service. It's not good, it's not appropriate, but it doesn't invalidate the service. So therefore, there's an argument to say that you can't learn one from the other, because they are two different, they have different rules applying to each. But, let's see, where do we get to? So let's go back from there. So let's go from Meitvei. Meitvei, about 15, 20 lines up. Second to last word on the line, Meitvei. They challenged what we just said. That was Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said there's a difference. Wine invalidates the service and long hair doesn't. So they challenged it from a brighter, which apparently says the opposite. The Elu Shebamita, these are the ones who are punished by death. Heroe Rosh for Shitsue Yayin. Ones who grow their hair long and ones that drink wine, Kohenim, when they come to do their Avodah. So the Gemara says, Bishloma Shitsue Yayin. Understand why the writer says that those who drink wine are liable to death penalty. Why? Dichtiv, because it's a Torah Pasuk. Well, actually, it's an Ezekiel pasuk. It's two pasukim from Ezekiel, right? Which says, "Yain v'sachar lo tesh hatal v'necha." No, sorry, that one is the Torah pasuk. "Yain v'sachar al tesh et ata uvanecha lo tamutu." So the Torah tells us, wine and hard drink. Don't drink it, you or your sons, and you won't die. So it's clear why the Braita would say that a person who drinks wine is liable to death penalty. But the Gemara says, "Ala parei rosh manalan." But what about the parei rosh, the growing your hair? Where is the source that says that you would have the death penalty? So the Gemara answers, "The itkash." It's an itkash. It's a hekesh. Itkash. Shtuya yayin lepurei rosh. We did a hekesh from wine to growing hair. And this is the two pasukim now from Ezekiel. Ketiv is written in what? Rosham lo yigachelu, ufera lo yishalehu. That the hair of their head they will not shave. Sorry, the head they won't shave. And they won't let their tresses grow. They won't let their hair grow. So that's one pasuk. And then uktiv, and then the next pasuk is written, voyai lo yishtu, and wine they shouldn't drink. So the Gemara makes the hekesh. Mashitu a yayin b'mita, just like we know that drinking wine has a death penalty associated with it, af perurei rosh b'mita. So too, we can say the same thing about growing your hair long. Also has the death penalty. So now we've learned that this appears to contradict what Rav Ashi said. Rav Ashi said there's a difference between wine and growing hair. One invalidates a temple service, growing hair doesn't. But according to the Braita, they both have the death penalty. So Rav Ashi's statement doesn't really make sense. You could argue, if you want, the Gemara doesn't, so it's probably not a valid argument. To say that they're two different things, that you can have the death penalty, but it still might not invalidate the service. But it doesn't make sense to make them on two different rules if you're using the same hekesh from the Torah about not drinking. In order to give the death penalty, then you should have the same hekesh about not drinking also invalidates. would have the same, should have the same result. Well, let's just finish the sukkah. Umina, and from here, mashitu yayin to mechalei avodah, just like those who drink wine invalidate the temple service, af purei rosh to mechalei avodah, so too those who grow their hair should invalidate the temple service. And the Gemara says kasha. It's a kasha. You're right. It would appear like we should say that it invalidates, but actually it doesn't. Rav Ashi is correct. If you don't cut your hair, Rabbi Abraham, you won't invalidate the service. It's not going to be good. They might want to, right? The person could have a death penalty on him for doing so, but it wouldn't invalidate the service. But wine does. So we have this this difference in the laws. Even though we made a hekesh from wine to hair, it's not a complete hekesh. That's why it's a kasha. It's kasha because it's not clear why you make half a hekesh, if you like. You make a hekesh that says, just like wine has a death penalty, so too growing hair has a death penalty. But we don't make the hekesh across to say, just like wine invalidates, so too hair invalidates. And that's partially the kasha here as to what why it's not clear to us what's going on. So Eliyahu Navi will come and solve everything.
Yes, Rashi, say anything?
Good question. Look. Shitua yayin de machale avodah. Tziv yayin v'sachar v'kulei v'samir v'habdil b'yan kodesh v'bein ahol mashma v'ein avodah kedusha v'avodah makolele gas v'bachur v'abana z'man v'isho Meheira Yibane. No. Thank you, Yamasina. Halfway Rosh, Machane Abodah. Nope. Nothing else on there. Over here. Nope. So, Amale Ravina le Ravashi. Ravina says to Ravashi, Hai ad delo ata yecheskel. Man Amra. So Ravina has a question. Says to Rav Ashi, Hi, this thing. Ad delo ata Yehezkel. Until Yehezkel came along. Ma'an Amra. Who taught this law? What's his question? Questions like this. We said that we learned, at least in this brayta that we just learned, this sugya, about whether or not you get a death penalty or the growing hair invalidates. We said there's a hekesh and you learn hair from wine. How do you know that? It's a hekesh in Ezekiel. So Ravina wants to know, well, that's very nice, but what happened before Ezekiel came along? They didn't know this law. Right? Ezekiel came and taught the law, and before them they had a different law. Can't be. Right? We have the same laws for Moshe Mishina. How can it be that Yehezkel was the one that came along and apparently taught us this law? Apparently, so the Gemara is going to answer. Ulitameh, and according to your reasoning, right? If that was true, according to your reasoning, Hadamar Rav Chista, that thing which Rav Chista said, which was, what did he say? Devalze mitorat Moshe Rabbeinu lolamadu. So apparently what he's saying is, the bit that's missing, you don't see here, the Rav Chista was talking about a person who is not circumcised. He's not allowed to perform the Torah, Avodah. If he's a Kohen, for whatever reason he didn't get circumcised, he's not allowed to perform the Avodah. Could be for a valid reason. There's every Jew, as you know, has to be Jewish, has to be circumcised. However, there is a case where you don't have to be circumcised. If what? No, then you are circumcised if you're already born.
If one of your brothers died from circumcision.
Two.
Two of the brothers.
So the question whether it's two or three. Whether you made the hazaka from two or you make the hazaka from three. But if two or three brothers died already, in our days we probably would call that hemophilia.
Yeah.
they would see that they would do it to the pikuach nefesh, comes above all Torah laws apart from the three, but circumcising yourself is not one of the three, so pikuach nefesh comes above it. So if that was the case, so he would be a valid Kohen, but he wouldn't be able to perform the Avodah. Okay, Rav Chisda said about that, the Vazer, this thing, the Vazer Rav Chisda, Rashi says, Bizvachim, Beperek Sheini, the Vazer, the Kohen, Ariel, Pasul, Avodah. So, an uncircumcised Kohen is Pasul from temple service. So Rav Chisda said about it, the Vazer, this thing, Mitorat Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Lamadnu, we didn't learn from Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Sheba Yehezkel Bilimandu, until Yehezkel came and taught it to us. I think he was saying with the question mark, are you saying that we didn't learn this? The same situation, basically, right, we asked the question about this Hekesh we made from Yehezkel. But the Gemara points out, we already had this same problem. That Rav Chisda asked that same question. Ravina asked Rav Ashi on this sugya and said, wait a minute, we didn't know this law until Yehezkel came along. And then Rav Ashi says to him, Rav Chisda has already asked the same question, because the same question arose in the case of the law of an uncircumcised man. Right? That law was also only learnt out apparently from Yehezkel. Right? So say also over there they asked the same question. Well, you didn't know this law until Yehezkel came along and taught it to you, right? The where what does he say? Kol ben necher, this is in Yehezkel, Kol ben necher arel lev, ba arel basar, lo yava al mektashi. Every uncircumcised every stranger who is uncircumcised of heart or uncircumcised of flesh should not come into my mikdash, my temple. Ad de lo ba Yehezkel man amra, until Yehezkel came along and told us that. Who said it? Right? Well, what's the question? The question is like this: if someone else said it before Yehezkel, so we would have had a different source. The fact that your source comes from Yehezkel means that that's apparently the source. If someone else said it, had a reason for saying it before Yehezkel came along, then we would have had a source apparently. So the Gemara answers, Ella rather Gemara Gemira la. Rather it is a received tradition. Gemara Gemira la. It's a tradition handed down from Moshe Sinai. There's no source for it. It's just a given law that was handed down. Ba'ata Yehezkel basmata akra, and Yehezkel came along and supported it with a verse. Hachanami, so too over here, right? That's talking about the case of the uncircumcised Kohen. Hachanami, so too here. Gamra gemirela. It's also passed down tradition, Moshe Sinai, right, regarding the Kohen liable to the death penalty from this Hekesh that we learned in Ezekiel, is also actually came from Moshe Sinai, Va'ata Yehezkel, and Yehezkel came, Basmachta Akra, and he supported it with a verse. What's this? This is in brackets. So it's a question whether or not you read this. Apparently Maharishal deletes it, but at least some of the commentators do have it. So we'll read it. And regarding the tradition on the law regarding the death penalty, but regarding to the invalidating a service, it was not received. So what's he saying? So when he made the Hekesh, we said there was a problem with his Hekesh. The problem is, if you're going to make a hekesh and link wine to hair, so you've got to link all of everything, just like we want to say, just like there's a death penalty in this, so too there's a death penalty in hair. But we didn't have a hekesh linking the invalidating the service. We would have said in a normal hekesh, just like drinking wine invalidates a service, so too with the hair. So the Gemara answers here, it's in brackets, so we're not sure if it's meant to be there or not, but according to what the brackets say, the reason for the difference is one of them, we have a tradition, Moshe B'Sinai, that there is a death penalty associated with growing your hair, but we haven't got a tradition passed down regarding invalidating the service. That's why there appears to be a difference between those two rules. Okay.
Does Rashi say anything?
Look at that. Rashi says, or Arel Basar Shemetu Achav Mechamat Mila. That his son's got, that his brothers got killed on account of Mila. They died.
Yeah.
Mila. Rashi says. Rashi says that his brothers died from Mila. That's why he's uncircumcised. He's not circumcised. Like we said.
Ah.
Right. So Rashi just said the same thing. Copy. Okay, so let's finish the end of this sugya, Bezrat Hashem. So, different question. What is that pasuk which says, Kasom yichsanu et roshehem? They shall trim their heads. Kasom yichsanu. What's that referring to? So the Gemara answers, Tana was taught in a brighter, Kamim. Tisporet lulainit. It's like a haircut of lulainit. A lulainit haircut. What's that? Gemara says, what's that? My tisporet lulainit. What is this tisporet lulainit? What is this haircut? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel. Rabbi Yehuda said Mashmuel. Tisporet yechida. It's a tisporet yechida. What does it mean, yechida? Yechida just means it's special. It's unique. Rashi says, Na'er ve'ein dugmata. It's beautiful and there's no comparison. There's no one like it. It's unique. How? So Amar Rabashi explains why how it was. Heichidami, sorry, the Gemara says Heichidami. How was this? Amar Rabashi, Rosho shel zeh, but sad ikaro shel zeh. The head or the tip of this hair, but sad ikara reached the base of that one. Apparently, there was a unique haircut where the tip of one hair would reach the base of the other hair. So that sounds like a number one cut.
You mean it's short?
I don't know. It doesn't seem to be very special. Look, the truth is, In biblical times, they were very, very skilled in art and artisan that we can't even imagine. Right? The Midrash says that when they made the tachash, they made some of the material for the mishkan. They wove it on the back of the sheep. Right? So there's lots of stuff that they knew that we can't really. So maybe this too was a haircut of tremendous proportions.
Huh?
It was an animal. But it was the skin of it. Right. Right, we don't have. But here, so what we think about this haircut anyway? So apparently, they shall trim their heads. What does it mean? This means that they should have. Yes. So, this is an instruction to cut their hair in this specific way. So, Rabbi Abraham, when the temple comes back, we're gonna send you for a lulianit haircut. Maybe the next door Shimon. Next door Shimon is he can ask him if he's practiced the Kohanim's haircut. So according to the footnote, it's not clear whether it's all regular Kohanim or maybe just a Kohen Gadol has this special one. But from the Pshat, it's all Kohanim. But the footnote here says it could just be the Kohen Gadol. And then we can see exactly the beauty, which has no comparison.
So how is that different from the breastplate haircut? Because normally they have it very short on the top and the back.
Could be a normal breast of haircut. I don't know. Maybe. There we go. Maybe Abraham has already got the inbuilt natural.
That's the number one.
saves on the haircut. Hairdressers. Wash and blow dry. So. What's the ages of the Kohen? Kohen can serve between what ages?
20 and 60? 20 and 30. 30 and 50.
Was the counting the same as the serving though? Because they counted all the Jews from 20 to 60. But I think serving is different.
I see 30 is different.
30 to 50.
Yeah, today's in the back.
Yeah, today?
Today's the 50 months. The parashat is 50. You die in the first day of the 50 months.
Oh, yeah?
Today's the 50 months.
The Bain Shloshim Shana Male Ad Bain Hamishim from 30 to 50 Shana Tikot Osan Ho Habat Malikam Nizvoa Zabal Avot to serve Avodah Bohel Moad.
Yes, 30 to 50. Very good. Bobo Ruben wins the prize today. No, he wants to know if the Kohen Gadol is different.
Carry on until he dies.
It doesn't have to carry on, because there was a deputy Kohen Gadol who took his place, and the previous Kohen Gadol stood down at a certain point. And the Gemara talks about the conflict between the ex Kohen Gadol and the new Kohen Gadol.
With the mourners.
He can be, but he doesn't have to be.
With the mourners. But
if he Kohen Gadol serves until he dies.
Not necessarily.
So that's the thing, I'm not Kohen Gadol. And he should get it.
It means that he can't leave until he dies. It doesn't mean he serves. He might not be serving me.
The
current good dog, who was the current good dog, who was appointed at the time he went in, he has to wait for until he dies.
He has to bring the offering
the
who? But he can be a former Kohen Gadol. There's a serving Kohen Gadol, and there's a former one. There's also a deputy. There's a deputy who hasn't yet become the Kohen Gadol. There's a Kohen Gadol who's now. There's a Kohen Gadol who was the previous Kohen Gadol if he's still alive.
Right, because if the he could, there's a number of ways that it could be invalid.
No, that's the deputy.
No.
How old was
123
years old. 123.
I think.
I see what I mean. So he's still the current one. He's just invalid for the current time period. Then he goes back to being valid. If he got Tamei, for example.
Right.
So he's still the current Gadol, but his deputy stands in, and he comes back.
That's the point I'm making. Now, what I learned was that after 50, he starts teaching.
Yeah.
Because after 50, if you're shechting, it's you know, most animals can get pretty big, and it's really hard on the back.
Right, but they were strong guys. Not like us.
And not seeing you come.
I had too many cuts when I was Moshiach.
What was that haircut?
Yeah.
123 years old.
The cold floor kept
123.
Yeah.
The fifth month?
Who?
Adam.
Fifth month, right. On the first of the month.
Yes. Today.
So he was still cold. He was
so shocked. He took off his head and he gave it to.
Okay, a little bit more. Last week's Pasha.
You say it's written? Yeah.
The official Yort site, the Torah. Tov, Shalua Rebbe. They asked Rebbe a question. Ezu Tisporet Shel Kohen Gadol. What was the haircut of the Kohen Gadol? Amar lehen, he said to them, Se'u uwa'u, go out and look. Mitisporet Shel Ben El Asha. Go and look at the Tisporet, the haircut of Ben El Asha. Apparently, that's the answer. Tanya, like it was taught in a brighter, Rebbe Omer, Lo al chinam, not for nothing, Pizer ben Alasha et Meotam. Not for nothing did Ben Alasha spend his money. Right? Meaning on his haircut. Ella, rather, Kedei la'arot bo tisporet shel Kohen Gadol. Well, they did so in order to show off, to demonstrate the haircut of the Kohen Gadol. He would spend a lot of money to make sure that he had a haircut of a Kohen Gadol, so it was still in existence and people would still know what it looked like. So when people would come and ask their rabbi, what does the Kohen Gadol look like? They could say, you don't see him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They would say, go and look at Ben Elisha. It's a good way to spend your money. Katnosha Rebbe, that's why he knew it. Hayav Natan Mamor, Talamdu Lo Oto Tisporet. It was probably Rebbe was the hairdresser. That's why Rebbe was very rich.
imagine that if that married and every daughter because different father is dangerous.
It's cheaper that way.
He could take over the profession. Says it. So that money, he gave him money. Lindova.
He gave him money? Can I show Rabbi Yahya a hand up on?
Gave Rabbi money to teach him how to show him.
Ah, but then do what I told you to start at
there. Wow,
nice.
He came down with the family.
Okay.
Was Rabbi a Kohen?
Huh?
Maybe Rabbi was a Kohen?
Rabbi was a Kohen? Rabbi was a Nasi?
Well, he's trying to look like he would have.
Yeah.
Does Rashi say anything?
No. Hadron Alech, Kohen Gadol, Hadron Alech, Kohen Gadol, Hadron Alech, Kohen Gadol. Yofi. Tov, Had Kana Yom. Rabbi Abraham, you want to enlighten us with some words of Chizuk?
No,
huh?
All over the place and try and prepare something that's Shem. I wanna try to turn over here. So. I think in order for us to get stronger in learning, we have to understand why we learn. Right? We have to understand what the Torah is and what is it. We know it's Hashem's will, we know very simple things about it, but we want to understand on a deeper level what it is. We want to understand why we learn Torah. And that will give us the drive to get stronger. And also we want to understand the things within Torah learning that we need to get stronger in, which I think Rabbi Yaakov Avis lists, I think, 7 different items. So that's all in all what I want to do, how to go about it, and what's fun to use to get a little bit more organized. But I just grabbed something just to read a little bit. This is Shimshon Pinkus. He's a big tzaddik. I think he was in Bnei Brak. I don't know if he did his vedas on his roof in the yeshiva. Not many people like this, but he was a there are articles about how he was a breast lover, he was a leader of a community in Bnei Brak. Anyway, so I've seen different Sfarim, similar message here. It says in different Sfarim, and this is an idea that I want to challenge in order to either to understand it. It says in Sfarim that the only way to have dveikus with Hashem is through the Torah.
What does that mean in simple language?
Simple language. The only way to attach yourself spiritually to Hashem is through the Torah. Now, to me, every time I hear the idea, I'm like, wait a second, what about tefillah? What about mitzvahs? Correct. You don't know what to pray.
That you don't know Hashem's
will. Correct. So, the Sfarim say, and I want to explore this topic more, on why the Sfarim say that Torah is the main connection to Hashem. Again, this to me is very difficult because when I do his vedas, I have a strong connection to Hashem. I think we all have some kind of, we feel connected. We feel like we're accomplishing, we feel close to Hashem, and that's why we continue doing it. We see results, we feel close. So to me it seems very strong for the Sfarim to say that Torah is the only way, I have a book over here, it's in my bag, it says the only way. Anyway, so I want to understand what they mean. And I think Rabbi Nachman helps us understand. I think Rabbi Yaakov Avis. I think I have different answers, but I want to explore this topic of number one is.
I think most time, let's say, question, nonsense, find most in the Torah.
Correct.
Correct.
Yes. Yes.
So I was saying, Hashem, please help me. Most time when I read the Kitzur, like to Ram, my own pray, which is below. I said, Hashem, I open the page.
So you believe this concept that the Torah is the main connection to Hashem? Do you believe
it?
Main connection. Yeah. With prayer.
So, you came into
it. So the Chazanish says that. The Chazanish says that Tefillah and Torah are two inseparable items. That's what the Chazanish says. Do you believe that, Rahman? That Torah is the main? Does anybody have a definition? How can we define what the Torah is? Does anyone know what the Torah is?
Anybody? Someone has said it's the instruction manual for this planet.
It's very nice. It's very nice. It's nice, but the deeper we get a definition, the more that inspires us to.
To put in action. When you look at the Torah, you have to put in action.
So I just want to read something quickly because we don't have so much time. Of Shimshon Pinkus, he says there's a pasuk in Mishlei that says a mitzvah is a candle and Torah is light. Torah is or. What is a candle and what is light? Right, that's a question in the pasuk. What's the difference between Torah and mitzvah? To understand the difference between the Torah and all of the mitzvahs, you need to understand the difference between a candle and light. Torah is light and all mitzvahs are Torah. All the mitzvahs, all the kedusha that exists, all the spiritual things with all their beauty and wonder, including the Yamim Tovim and including the Tfilos, are like a candle. That's all the mitzvahs. Yet all these pale into insignificance when compared with the Torah, which is like the powerful light of the day. A candle provides illumination when it's dark. The same is true with the mitzvahs. It's dark here in this world, and we produce a certain amount of illumination by doing mitzvahs. The true light, however, is the Torah Kedusha, the Holy Torah. We can attain true attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, there's another statement that says this. We can attain true attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu only through the Holy Torah. Indeed, Chazal say this. Now, this is strong. Someone who is an Am Haaretz will not merit Tchiyas HaMeisim. As it says, the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, a dew of light is your dew. So again, you see this light is the Torah. Meaning, whoever uses the light of Torah, the light of Torah brings them back to life. It says, a dew of light is your dew. A dew of light, meaning if you have this dew made of light, which is the Torah, that's your dew, and that brings you back to life. So if whoever uses the light of Torah, the light of the Torah brings him back to life. He has Tchiyas HaMeisim. And whoever does not use the light of the Torah, the light of Torah does not bring him back to life. He does not have Tchiyas HaMeisim. This is a Chazal.
How do you use it?
That's a good question. In comparison to the light of the Torah. So that's a good question. So how do we tap into this tremendous light? That's what we want to do. We as Jews, we want to attach ourselves to Hashem in the strongest way, like Rav Arya says many times. Our neshama just wants to break out and just attach to Hashem, and that's all we want. 100% is what a Jew wants. How do we do that? How do we use this tremendous light? But this is a Chazal. This is a Masechtas Ksubas. It says that only way to merit Tchiyas HaMeisim is through the Torah. That's strong. We have a kasha. I heard Rav Dror say before that a person, the only limb, the only part of the part of a person that's humble is going to get up in Tchiyas HaMeisim. That's what he said. So is it humility or is it the Torah? Which one is it? Over here, the Chazal says, and again, everything Rav Dror says is from Rav Arush and Rav Arush's sources. So again, we need to understand these topics in greater detail, because you could always have kashas on this. You could always say, well, wait a second. What about Anava? What about the Muna? What about?
But isn't that so? You learn Torah.
Yeah.
Before we learn,
correct, but it's making a distinction between the two. Here it's making a distinction. Here you're right, the mitzvahs come from Torah, but here it's making a distinction. Here it's saying the light of the Torah itself versus the mitzvahs, meaning as two separate items, meaning the Torah in its own merit, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah itself, it is what brings you to Tchiyas HaMeisim. That's what it says. The light of the dew, that's what it says. The dew of light is your dew. The darshan is that the light is the Torah. Only through the light of the Torah do you have Tchiyas HaMeisim. And before, he, with the pasuk, a mitzvah is a candle and Torah is light, he makes a chiluk, he makes a separation between the two, from what I understand. So I think it's just comparing all the mitzvahs to the Torah itself. You're right, you're 100% right. Through the Torah comes
the
mitzvah.
Right,
correct. But it's saying here the Torah itself, outside of humility, outside of mitzvahs, the Torah itself. And let me just finish this piece, but you're 100% right.
So, learning Torah, or is this the Torah itself?
That's a good question. It says whoever uses the light of the Torah. I think, from what I understand,
you can put Torah
there. I don't know. Let's see. This teaching, you're right.
If you create a world that is set to the Torah, that everything which is home, why Hashem give us this book? Why you give us this book? You think Hashem is
living in the world?
Let me just finish this quick piece just so we can get started, right? This teaching of Chazal is strongly worded. Eternity may be found in Torah alone and nowhere else. The Gemara in Brachos asks a puzzling question. This is an interesting question. How do women acquire their merit? The Gemara asks. How do women acquire their merit? It seems strange to ask such a question about women. Isn't it obvious that countless righteous Jewish women have abundant merits from the many mitzvahs they do? How can you ask such a thing? How do women acquire their merit? The answer is that Tchiyas HaMeisim can happen only to a person who's attached the source of life to Hashem, and such attachment is created only by Torah learning. Nothing else can do it. Thus the question arises, how do women who are exempt from Torah learning attain special Torah merits? That's the question. How do women who don't learn Torah, which is the only thing that gives you Tchiyas HaMeisim, how do they get their Tchiyas HaMeisim?
Because it's not written in Hashem. She had a special connection to Hashem. Men have her husband.
That's right. That's the kasha. That's his kasha. So how can the Gemara ask how do women get their merit? You're saying pshita. They do mitzvahs. They have a special connection.
No, it's the man. By the woman, she is exempt from many mitzvahs. Why is she a connection? Special connection.
Correct. Exactly. So how can the Gemara ask such a question?
We have to attach with learning. Come help because they are.
So you're strengthening question. How can the Gemara ask such a question? You're saying women have a special connection to Hashem. Women have intrinsic connection to Hashem, and they do mitzvahs. So how can the Gemara ask such a question? How do women acquire their merit? Pshita, they simply acquire their merit. They have a special connection to Hashem. They do mitzvahs. How can the Gemara ask such a question? Right?
Yeah, that's your Hava Amida. They have to know to be sitting and learning Torah in order to be in that light.
That he just brought that from a Chazal. He just brought that from a Chazal.
We're in the kasha.
You're right. Let's read this. So the answer is that.
Wait
for the answer tomorrow. That's a good kasha. We'll live in the kasha.